This episode of Game Master's Journey is brought to you by the patrons and other supporters of Starwalker Studios. Find out more about becoming a patron, as well as all the other great ways you can support the show at starwalkerstudios.com/support. Starwalker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. Hello, fellow gamer. Welcome to episode 199 of Game Master's Journey. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. On this show, we discuss the craft and the art of game mastering. I've been running RPGs for over 26 years now, and I produce this show in the hopes that you can benefit from my experience, my triumphs, and my mistakes. Today, I'm bringing you the, I believe, fifth prelude in my Hinterlands of Alandria D&D campaign. Today, I'm talking with Danielle about her character, Gitfiron, the Fire Genasi Wizard. If you're a new listener of the show, welcome to Game Master's Journey. Just want to let you know that this is an actual play episode of our D&D campaign, but most of the episodes of this show are not actual play. The most recent regular format discussion episode is episode 194, in which I spoke with listener GM Allie about her experiences as a new GM. I'm releasing these actual play episodes as part of the Game Master's Journey podcast because I've had a lot of listeners request an audio version. However, if you'd like to see the video version of these actual plays, you can find those on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/StarwalkerStudios. We are getting caught up with the actual play recordings for the podcast, so even now we're still working through the preludes, but on the YouTube channel, there's a lot more content for you. We've played six sessions now above and beyond the preludes, and we're on a couple week hiatus from playing for the holidays. And in the interim, I'm doing some solo vignettes with some of the players that have time to get together with me to develop their characters a little bit more and fun stuff like that. And I did the first of those with Brett the other day, and I'm working on getting that video up on the YouTube channel. So that should be available pretty soon as well. So still getting caught up on the actual play in the podcast, but we will hopefully get caught up in the next month or so. So as I said, this is episode 199, and this is the final episode for season 11 of the show. So I'm on a bit of a break myself, so I think I'll be coming back probably the second week of January with episode 200, which is going to kick off season 12 of Game Master's Journey. So some things that you can look forward to in season 12, I'm going to continue my series of episodes in which I dig into the Dungeon Master's Guide, and I'm actually going to split that into two separate series. So for those of you who have been keeping up on the episodes, you know that the last of those I did, I discussed the Astral Plane, and I said that I was planning to do another episode on the Astral Plane in which I discussed material from previous editions of the game. So I'm still going to do that, and I have had a lot of feedback from listeners who really enjoy the plane episodes, and they're looking forward to me talking about all the planes and also bringing in some information from previous editions of the game, because we don't have a whole lot on the planes so far in 5th edition. But I also want to get back to talking about the rules in the Dungeon Master's Guide and the variations and all the tools for DMs in there. And I didn't want to get bogged down in the planes episodes because it's going to take a while to go through all of those. So what I decided to do is split it into two sections. So I'm going to have the regular DMG discussion episodes, in which case we're going to skip ahead of the plane stuff and get back to the rules. Probably episode 200 will be the next of those episodes in which we're going to discuss creating adventures, I believe is the next section of the DMG. And then I'm going to have a separate series just on the planes so that we can kind of do them kind of alternate. I'm also going to have hopefully some more interviews for you in season 12. And of course, there will be more actual play videos, as well as just more episodes, or I should say actual play episodes, as well as some more episodes on various Game Master and RPG related topics. And finally, I will be having more behind the screen episodes in which I talk more about my Hinterlands of Alandria campaign, but talking about it from the GM perspective and sharing with you how I did the various things I'm doing and answer questions and things like that. So if you have any questions for me or any comments about the actual play that you'd like discussed in the next behind the screen episode, shoot me an email at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And I'm really hoping more and more as we go through the behind the screen episodes to focus the content of those episodes on the feedback and questions I get from listeners and viewers, so that we're really tailoring those episodes so that they can be most helpful for you GMs out there who are looking for ways to improve your craft, which is what we're all about here at Game Master's Journey. So really quickly, before I get Danielle on here, I want to give a shout out to my tier 5 patron, Steve. Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you to all the patrons. Becoming a patron of Starwalker Studios is the number one way that you can support the show and ensure that I'm able to continue producing quality episodes for you. However, there are other ways you can support the show too, and you can find out about all those other ways at starwalkerstudios.com/support. And you can find my Patreon page at patreon.com/starwalkerstudios. Now, this prelude with Danielle is quite a bit shorter than the other preludes, and the reason for that is Danielle and I actually covered a lot of stuff about her character back and forth on email, and that just seemed to be what worked best for Danielle, and so that's what we did. So by the time we got together for an actual prelude, we'd covered a lot of the stuff that we would normally cover in a prelude already by email. So if there's anything you'd like to know about Danielle's character that you're foggy on from this prelude, be sure to let me know, and I can provide that information in a future actual play episode, or perhaps in a future behind the screen episode. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and I'll be back soon with episode 200 and the beginning of season 12 of Game Master's Journey. You're doing Fire Genasi.
Yep. And is that how you say it? I don't know how you say it.
That's how I say it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say it how you say it.
It's a made up word, so I don't know that there's a right way.
I heard somebody on some stream I watched say genocide. It was like, that sounds a lot like genocide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that into that.
I think Genasi is how the folks at Wizards say it, but I kind of look at that like, I mean, in the real world, people say things different ways.
Yeah. So,
you know,
and I'm considering trying to play it with like a slight Middle Eastern accent. Cool. I like playing with accents.
Cool.
But yeah, sometimes they go off the rails a little bit.
That's all right. Well, I can't do them at all. So the more of you guys that do them, the better.
So she's got fire actually in her hair. Fire is part of her hair. I guess that's a racial trait. Yeah.
And then when she gets really
when she gets mad, it gets upset, more inflamed. Yeah.
I love it.
I found some pictures to share with you for inspiration, just to show kind of what she looks like.
Cool.
What else? We talked about refining the backstory, which I think is brilliant to make it more of a matriarchal society. I think that's super cool, and I'm into it. So
awesome. Yeah. I'm glad. It's kind of risky, but I'm like, fuck it.
No, that'll be really cool. And it's less cliche. I just like so much more about it. So yeah, I like it a lot. And it'll be more interesting. And I like the element of like her family accepts her 100% and she just has all of this internal shit about it.
Yeah.
It's like a little psychological trauma. for yeah, herself.
That's cool.
And maybe yeah. Your heritage from your mother's the human, right? Mm-hmm. From her side was maybe more patriarchal or more like less accepting of that kind of thing. And so maybe that's where some of that comes from is maybe your mom was a little more concerned about it as well. Mm-hmm. than I
would like to potentially transform my alchemist brewmaster mentor into a woman. I think that's more interesting. So my mom's sister is the brewmaster, and then we're kind of taking down the patriarchy one trope at a time.
Now, you mean the head of the brewery?
Yeah.
Okay. And you want that also to be your mentor for the alchemy thing?
Yeah. She's the head of the brewery, and she's an alchemist. That makes her a good brewer.
Cool. Yeah, sure.
Experimenting on the side.
Awesome.
Unless you take issue with that, and then, of course, we'll figure out something else.
No, I think that's great.
And then I also wanted to have maybe a nutty professor at my school of wizardry.
Yes.
At Hogwarts. D&D Hogwarts.
Yeah. And see, this is cool because I wanted to come up with some kind of wizard school for the city. Because at first I was thinking it would be just the guild would kind of fill that role. Yeah. But I thought an actual wizard school would be cooler. But I haven't really given a lot of thought to what that would be. So you're kind of like giving me the kick.
Yeah. Make me a wizard school clown.
Yeah. Yeah. And since you're doing lore master, right?
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And so I decided what I would do is because I was reading about lore master and they're kind of like they kind of almost look down on the other wizards that focus on one school. And they're like, we learn them all. Too.
Yeah. We won school.
Yeah, so I was thinking like Harry Potter, you have the different houses, or like, I don't know if you watched The Magicians or read the book.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how their school has like the different departments.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, so I was thinking this could be like that, like they have one for each of the schools, but then they have one for the lore masters too, who are kind of like almost like the elite because they kind of learn everything.
So we're like the, what's it, Penny? We're the Penny who's all by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
The one per generation kid that has like his own curriculum.
Yeah. And you're you're like in the PhD program where you have to be there twice as long as everybody else.
Yeah, and it like reinforces our sophistry, you know, makes us I love it. Cool.
Well, that's cool that you watched that because Queen Margot is huge inspiration for me for the queen of my city.
Oh, cool.
I think she's awesome. I like every word that comes out of that character's mouth.
Did you read the books too?
No, I didn't.
You should. Their books are really good.
Cool. Yeah,
check them out. The show strays from the books to a significant enough degree, and I was like a book fan going into the show, that I stopped watching the show. I was like, I can't take this anymore. It's too different. And then my sister is also a reader. It was like, hey, maybe take it at face value. Try not to put all of your shit on it and accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
And you might actually really enjoy it. And I did. But I had to let go of it being just like the book. They really, you know, they had to consolidate some stuff and whatever. But it's still, and reading the book after watching the show, I think you'll be in a better place than I was.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'll have to check those out. Mm-hmm. So let's see. And you're going with the beer god, which is cool.
Yeah. Yep. So my background is the alchemy. So I just need to do the bonds ideals and flaws. And I think they're kind of explaining themselves as we go through this, right? I'm obviously as a flaw snobby about magic and possibly other things. I don't know. I don't want my character to be unlikable though. So I have to kind of teeter a line of maybe snobby is like jokey rather than totally douchey.
Well, maybe you're just snobby around like other wizards.
Other wizards. Yeah. Do we have, and there are no other wizards in our group. Yeah. So then I won't be a jerk to them. They'll just see that come out when I'm around other wizards. I like that idea. Let me...
And we have a bard. But I could see the way bards doing magic being so different from the way wizards do that it wouldn't really...
Well, and I think lore master kind of allows me to be fascinated by the different applications of it and not like, oh, you haven't excelled at this school of magic. It's like, oh, that's really interesting. I want to see how you do that. Yeah. I want to break it down into pieces and figure out how to manipulate it. So much yeah. like the magicians, I'll be making yeah. weird hand symbols or you're trying like, to figure out how to
how do you it. Do it with music? That's really yeah. interesting.
Oh, man, I got to take some notes. I'm going to be in a fight. Oh, cool. I'll have to ask about that later.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
So snobbery and a chance to flaunt my intellectualism, I think, would be cool. a good flaw. Just making a note here.
Did you see about the +2 to constitution?
Yes. What is okay. that about?
That's just to make you guys a little hardier.
Okay.
And they're actually... I don't want to give too much. There is a reason beyond that, an in-story reason, but okay. I'm not going to.
But we're going to reveal that later. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's cool. I was like, is it just random or we're too squishy? We're going to die. Okay.
That's definitely part of it.
So it's not to encourage me to dump Constitution.
Right.
It's to, because I right. wasn't going to anyway. I was going to be like super con intellect, which is weird, but that's Genesee.
Yeah.
Genasi. Yeah.
Yeah. And the original plan was I wasn't even going to tell you about that until like the first session. Uh-huh. So that everything was done, so you didn't factor that into like the point.
Oh, line. That's clever.
But then all the issues with the character sheets, I'm like, you know, it'd be better to get all this done before.
Right, because then we'd have session. To be fiddling with a character yeah. sheet that maybe doesn't work as well as we want. Okay.
So yeah, ideally you do the point by and then your racial and then you add that mm-hmm. at the end.
Okay. And yeah,
does the point by make sense to you? Because I kind of...
Yeah, yeah, you bumped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's 30 points instead of 27.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So ideals. I want to prove myself worthy to my father, who I've never met. So it's some internal standard for an external person.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So I guess that's also kind of a bond. I got to reread the definition of those. So for me, it's like I prize knowledge above pretty much all else. And yeah. Another flaw I'm going to give myself too is intellectual snobbery around other wizards and a fiery temper.
Cool.
Because yeah, that's just yeah. class appropriate. I can't yeah. be the genasi that's chill.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the bond is like some kind of social obligation you have. Like it could be, you know, your kid brother you have to provide for, or
yeah, that's right.
It can be, and yeah, I totally phoned it in with the new backgrounds. I didn't do those because
oh, yeah.
a lot of times players like to make up their
yeah,
own
we like
anyway.
To make our own up anyway. So. Yeah, so I think I feel like I this character does have strong ties to her family because of the brothers aspect of it being kind of like seven dwarvesy, just
yeah.
Russell-y brothers. So I think it will be something about them. Like cool. maybe our brewery is struggling a little bit and I send money back, or I take really personally any affront to humans or people of our background as humans. I yeah. don't know, figure it out.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
That works.
What else?
And you do want to do the alchemy jug for your item?
Yes, unless there's any problem with that.
No, I think it's awesome. I've already come up with stuff for it. So,
all right, cool. Yay. I was like, I don't know. It's not super utilitarian in terms right. of combat or whatever, but I think there's a lot of role playing potential, and yeah. it just makes sense with that background. And it's a family heirloom, and it's so cherished. And it's
yeah.
I can just imagine like shedding a tear as my mom gives it to me. Like, oh my gosh, she really does think I'm part of this family, and I've never felt that way. And it's
yeah.
it's super important to me. So please find a way to take it away so we can have some conflict.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know about that, but these items are going, there's going to be opportunities for them to get better through mm-hmm. time. And
cool.
and so this will, it will actually have more purpose in the future than it does now.
Okay,
it'll become
cool.
more
and that's
useful.
Kind of what I was hoping for, is it maybe I can be questing to find new things to make appear in the alchemy jug or make it bigger or stronger or something. Cause that just makes yeah. sense with my kind of intellectual background. I have to figure out how it works and then try to tinker with it to make cool. it work.
And I'm picturing it a little differently than, I don't know if you've seen the picture of it in the DMG.
Where it looks like a vase with a handle.
Yeah. And it's got like these little spouts all over it.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing it more almost like a big growler, and it just has like one spout, and you just, when you go to pour it, you think what you want to come out, and it all comes out the same spout.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me too.
Yeah, because probably in the future, I'll just tell you, it's probably going to produce more types of liquid in the future. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to have to like keep adding spouts.
Right. That's what I was imagining too, is that it would be one vessel with an output.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the growler is perfect because it makes perfect sense for the backstory of it too. Like we single-handedly save a town with our one growler of beer.
Yeah. And I'm thinking it has some kind of like leather case with like a, ooh, so you can wear it like slung over your shoulder kind of thing. It's very travel ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of reinforced, but I'm imagining it like rugged, like Indiana Jones's messenger bag. You know, it's cool. Been through some stuff. It's used regularly. It's not just the family heirloom that sat on the shelf. It's like my family would be the type of people that would keep using it for farmer sharing, community stuff, or whatever.
So do you think it had a history before your family came into possession of it, or did your family maybe, someone in your family create it maybe? Or
I think it's maybe too powerful for it to just have been made by my family. So I like to imagine that it has some additional backstory, but no one knows what it is. It's like mysterious. It just appeared at our time of need, and my family has been the steward of it ever since. And so that's a good bond. I have like a familiar, like as in my own family is pushing me to help people in need wherever they are. Okay. So that's what my family does at any cost. We will give someone the shirt off our back. We will help people in need.
Cool. I like it. I'm writing things down.
Me too.
Yeah. I was making fun of myself. I think it was with Brett yesterday. Because I'm here on a computer and I'm like handwriting stuff with a pencil. On
sometimes
paper.
It's you. I've read studies that you absolutely learn and process more when you handwrite. And if you also then type it up afterwards, you're like reinforcing it even more. So it's like super good.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other night. I was writing something. I'm like, you know, it takes so much longer. I'm thinking about what I'm writing a lot more than when I type it. It's just kind of,
and it's that there's like a real physical connection that you don't have to a keyboard, but we'll see what the next characters. Generation's like. I don't know if they'll have the same paradigm as we do, but for us, handwriting is really way better for reinforcing knowledge.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm a lore master in real life too.
That's awesome. that reminds me. I think we probably talked about this before in the previous campaign, but the lore master is Unearthed Arcana, so it's
playtest,
and I think there's a very good chance that it's going to be in the new book coming out in November.
So it may change.
Yeah.
When that releases.
Yeah, and it will probably be.
How do you want to approach that? Are we going to change to align with what they release? Are you going to make? I mean, I assume you're going to make changes to whatever you want as we find it's OP or underpowered or whatever.
But well, I'm pretty sure it's OP.
Yeah, I think so too.
The general consensus.
I didn't take it because it's OP, but I just like the story part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can nerf it as much as you need to. I don't care about it.
I'll probably won't mess with it until the book comes out, and I'll see what they do with it. And then we'll probably just switch to that unless there's something I really like better about the way it is now.
I'm not precious about any of that kind of rule stuff as long as I know where we're going. You know, as long as I know the rules, I don't care what they are.
Yeah, I won't change it in the middle of a session. Like, nope, you can't do that anymore.
Oh, cool. But yeah, after a session, if you want to change something, we can talk about it. I'll just write it down. I'll try not to do it again if I can remember, or at least circle it in red so I don't. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with workshopping some of those Unearthed Arcana things.
Yeah, yeah. And we've got people using quite a bit of it. So.
And you made up the alchemist background, the alchemist apprentice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah.
Fun. Did anybody take cartographer?
I don't think so. Not yet.
That was so cool.
Yeah. I don't think anybody has. But I think Craig is going to try out one of my new domains for the cleric, the hunt domain. So that'll be
interesting. Oh, yeah. That looks really cool too.
So kind of ranger flavored cleric kind of. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Jaime is not going to be able to play, although he might join us later. But I got another guy to play named Emmanuel that played in one of my games way back when, and he's super cool. But I have no idea what he's going to play.
Cool.
I just talked to him today. So
yay. So there's going to be six PCs, but we're doing it like the West Marches, so people can fall in and out. Or how are you managing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my plan is, as long as four players can make it, we're going to play.
Okay.
So as far as how I'm going to handle it when people aren't there, I don't know. We'll have to play it by ear. Because I'm not really going to try to get everybody back to town at the end of every session, mm-hmm. especially since we only play 3 hours. That'd be kind of hard to do.
We shoot up a flare and some other dude shows up and the other person disappears.
Yeah. We'll come up with something. But yeah, I'm going to try to keep to like pretty much playing every week unless just like only three people show up. And even then, it kind of depends what you guys are doing.
Right. Sometimes you can tell plenty of story with just three people.
Yeah.
And I'm planning to make it. I've rearranged my schedule, so I should be able to be there all the time unless weird stuff comes up. The first session, I'll actually be in Nashville. So it's important to me that we end on time because I'll be on the East Coast and I have to get up early for demos and stuff. But after that, I'll be home and no biggie. So anything else we need to know about my character?
I don't think so. I guess the one thing I can tell you is a little bit about your sponsor. I've been telling everybody this. So
and Nike maybe, or Adidas or...
your sponsor for the guild.
Yeah.
So basically the gist, the setup for this is there's been a rumor that there's this village out to the east somewhere out in the wilderness. And most people believe it to be... what's the guy in Critical Role say? Poppycock. Poppycock. If there is one, like the people of the city would be very interested to know how on earth they survived on their own. And that might be useful information. So this woman, Druinda, who's a member of the guild, has herself kind of on her own, brought together you guys to form a new team and go investigate this for her personally. So you're not technically doing it for the guild, but if you're successful, then she is going to basically sponsor you as new members of the guild. And she is a human woman, kind of middle-aged. Her face and any visible parts of her body that you can see are covered in horrible burn scars. And in fact, where her eyes would be is just like ruined
burn.
Flesh. And she's...
Oh, her eyes? Her eye...
Her brows, she's blind.
She's blind. Okay. Yeah.
And basically, she was an adventurer and had a run-in with a dragon, breathed dragon fire on her, and they either didn't have a cleric or the cleric got killed. And so by the time she could get healing, like the scars had already set in. So very, very cliche. When she lost her physical sight, she gained a more mystical kind of sight.
Her third eye opened.
Yeah. So she has prophetic dreams and visions and things like that. So she, you don't know whether she had a dream or a vision or what, but she seems to believe there might actually be something to this. So she's kind of on her own bringing people together to investigate. She's kind of the connection of all of you guys, because most of your characters are probably strangers at this point. So I guess one thing we can figure out is maybe how you know her. But you mentioned that your family is very kind of humanitarian in helping people out. And I think that she would probably be like that too, especially with her situation.
Yeah.
So maybe, your family got to know her through some kind of community work or something for like the poor, the homeless, which there are tons of in the city.
That sounds perfect.
It'd
be either just like an ongoing thing or some sort of catastrophic event that we learned about each other from, something like that.
Cool. That works.
Can I test something here? I have a hard wire on my headset. I haven't tested it on the system yet. I want to know if it clicks on your side or if it's silent when I mute.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that.
It clicks, but it's not.
Is it annoying? So if I do it in the stream, are people going to be upset about it? Should I hard mute from the software?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I've heard that on my work calls that it clicks, but I haven't heard it myself, so I don't know. okay. how annoying it is.
I mean, I don't think it's super annoying, but if it's just as easy for you to do one or the other, I'd do the other. But
okay.
I mean, people on YouTube will complain about anything, so yeah, I'm not so concerned about what they complain about.
Trolls be trolling.
They'll be like, that's not how you DM. What are you doing?
Show us your video, biatch.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I'm running my own stuff now, because now they can't say, hey, that's not what's in
this page. Yeah, that's not what so-and-so deity does. Yeah, that's me too. Like I think it's like a million times worse as a woman. Like,
oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
There's like just an assumption from the super fanboys that you just like can't know because you're a girl. But any of that kind of canon stuff, I certainly wasn't immersed in the lore of D&D. I don't know everything about the whole world. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to mess with that world. I'm going to use the rule system and do my own thing because I can't keep being held accountable for
stuff
I can't remember. It's too big.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you and Phoebe are playing, so it's not just a
sausage fest. I'm excited to have ladies playing too. I think
and now Emmanuel's playing, so we're not completely whitewashed anymore, which is nice.
It sounds like Jaime is also not a white name.
No, he's Cuban originally.
Mm. Cool.
And living in Montana now.
Mm. He's probably increased the Cuban population of Montana by 10%.
Yeah. But he's a riot, and in the Hidden Shrine thing, his character and Phoebe's character were always at each other's throats. It was pretty hilarious.
Phoebe seems to like a foil. I think that's her deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was like kind of the bratty teenager, and so he was the dwarf who doesn't like teenagers, and it was great.
Yeah, I watched the first session, and I haven't caught up on the rest of it, but it was enjoyable. I really like that setup. I love Roll 20 too. So you're not doing this one on Roll 20?
No. We'll probably start out doing it on Hangouts like we're doing right now, and then as soon as I get video on Discord, we'll switch to that.
And what are we doing for dice rolling? Just honor system? Are we cameraing our dice roll?
Yeah, just roll your own dice and
For hit points, can I always take the average?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phew. I don't like chancing it up with hit points.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Brett wanted to roll for second level, and he has a D10, and he rolled a 3.
Yep. Never. Like,
that's why you don't roll, man.
Don't roll. Bad choice. Even with the +2 con, that's not going to help you that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. All right. Well, I'll work on my character sheet. Yeah. Probably later tonight after my work calls are over, and then I'll send it over to you and let me know if I miss anything or got anything wrong or something's not quite what we're thinking.
Cool. Awesome.
Are we doing any, is our first session just like jumping in to play, or are we doing like a session zero thing at all?
Session zero is basically this and the forums. So
Cool.
So yeah. And you're on the forum, right? You got on there okay, and cool. Awesome. Our kind of ghetto forum.
No, I like it. That's a good forum.
Someday when she has time, Nikki might get in there and pretty it up for me a little bit. Because she did.
Yeah, it is very bare bones.
Yeah, we had a forum for, we ran a guild in Rift, the MMO Rift for a while. Mm-hmm. And she like made icons and stuff for it. It was super cool.
But yeah, it's nice to have artists in the family.
Yes, it's very nice. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 199 and season 11 of Game Master's Journey. If you would like to get a hold of me, you can email me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker, and you can call the Game Master's Journey voicemail number and leave a message at 951-GMJ-LEX-1. That's 951-465-5391, or you can also find that number in the show notes for any of the Game Master's Journey episodes. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions for future topics, I'd love to hear from you. And if you leave me a voicemail message, man, I am just off my game today, you might hear your message on the show. You can find the show notes for this and all the episodes of Game Master's Journey at starwalkerstudios.com/GameMastersJourney. You can also find links to connect with the Game Master's Journey community on Google+ and Discord, where you can share ideas, questions, and stories with other listener GMs. If you'd like to support the show, the best way you can help me out is by becoming a patron. You can find out all about becoming a patron at patreon.com/StarWalkerStudios. Also, check the bottom of the show notes for all the other ways you can support the show, including purchasing a t-shirt or getting my D&D adventure, The Trickster's Labyrinth, at StarWalkerStudios.com. And you can also use my Amazon referral link when you shop on Amazon. So you can find these and other great ways to support the show at StarWalkerStudios.com/support. I hope that you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I hope you have a chance to run your favorite RPG. I'll be back soon with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music, courtesy of Cloudwalker, Transboy, Renfield, Stanko, and Ish. See the show notes for more details at StarWalkerStudios.com/GameMaster's Journey.